Wow, I am so happy to be here with you guys today. You know, what is 600 miles? About 11 and a half hours. You know what? You're worth it. The Lord is worth it. Your pastor is worth it. And hey, brother, if you're watching, we love you. Can we praise the Lord for your pastor? Yeah! Praise the Lord for your pastor. Love your pastor. Encourage your pastor. Oh. I'm sitting there this morning at 5:15, 5:20, putting on my socks. Y'all, it's hot here, okay? It's hot here. I'm putting on my socks. And I said, wow, I found myself getting a little sad. I came to do what I'm doing right now. That's why I'm here. But I see myself getting a little sad sitting there on this coffee table, putting on my socks. And I told myself, I just said, self, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy the moment. And I want to encourage you folks to just stop and relax and enjoy the moment of Fellowship Church. This doesn't happen everywhere. Trust me. I know. If I wasn't 600 miles, y'all would get sick of seeing me. 600 miles. 11 and a half hours. Look, I would thumb if I had to. That's what y'all mean to me. That's what you mean to me. Because of what's happening here. And Jesus said the greatest of these is, the greatest of these is love. Y'all have got that in spades here. And you don't find it. It's real. You have a pastor that loves you. He loves God. He's concerned for you. Do we have any new people here today? First timers, I just want to warn you that you got to be really careful or you're going to wind up falling in love with these that are in this assembly. If you're not really careful around your preacher, you're going to love him because he's going to love you. And thank you for coming today. My bride couldn't be with me. I do have a white Porsche. I didn't bring her. She stayed home. Her work schedule wouldn't let her come. And her mom isn't well. Okay? Enough said. So, but we're going to praise the Lord anyway. Can I do two shout outs? One to Dale and Nancy for your encouragement, for how you love each other and how you love the Lord. And one to Gilbert. I'll see you probably next week. Is anyone here excited about the Olympics? I tried to come up with something I could talk about and maybe tie in with the Olympics. Anybody excited? Do we have any Olympic gold medalists in here? Are there any in here? What about silver? What about bronze? Or who cares about bronze? We don't have any Olympic participants in here. There's one from Richmond County going. Young ladies going in gymnastics from Richmond County. So I'm proud of that. But I wanted to work on something having to do with the Olympic sports that are coming. And what I came up with is finishing well. Finishing well. There's a whole lot of our heroes of the faith that we're going to look at today. And that is in both services. It's not the same message. In the first service, we're going to look at some heroes of the faith. We're going to see how they finished. Folks, it doesn't matter where you start. You don't get any medals at the starting line. That ain't what happens. No. You get them at the finish line. Doesn't matter where, whatever you've done. It doesn't. I don't care who you are where you're from. Don't care what you've done, as long as you love Him. Can y'all say amen to that? As long as you love Him, it don't matter. Ground's level at the cross. No respecter of persons. But I did want to talk about finishing well. With the Olympics, winners do what others won't so they can win what others don't. Y'all get that? That's what winners do. How many of you here want to finish well? I mean, in this life, would you like to finish well? Let me just tell you a statistic right off the top. There was a study done of Bible leaders. In your book, 30% finish well. What? 30% finished well. 7 out of 10 didn't. Would you like to finish well? I would. And this got so interesting, and I hope that I don't really just bore you guys terribly, but we're in the first service, we're going to look at some heroes of the faith and how they finished, how they crossed the line, not what they did up to that. And I'm just going to say this, as long as you have breath in you, you can finish well. As long as you got one more breath, you can finish well. Okay? In the second service, well, this first service, we got heroes of the faith. And some of them just didn't do so hot. Finishing. But in the second service, we got some scoundrels. And they smoked it across the line. They were zooming wide open when they crossed the line. So really, it don't matter where you start. Don't matter who you are. Don't matter where you're from. Don't matter who your daddy is, who your mama is. My grandpa built the church. Well, if he didn't, God would have raised up somebody else to do it. Just the way it is. Heroes of the faith. How you finish. You're either running, walking, limping, or disqualified. Now, the Bible is full of great religious leaders that finished well. Abraham, Joshua, Daniel, Stephen, Peter, Paul. You can go down the line. There's more than that. They were running when they went through the line. They were zooming. But we had some that walked through when they finished. They weren't running. Some of those are David, Jehoshaphat, and Hezekiah. There's more. There's more than that. There were some that were limping when they got to the line. Gideon, Eli, Solomon, and Asa. Y'all say that with me, Asa. Say Asa. How many know the story of Asa? Wonderful. Wonderful. You're going to know when you leave today. Asa's story, how he finished. He was a king. Why can't a king finish well? They got it made in the shade. They got everything. For crying out loud. And a king can't finish well. And you have some that were disqualified. Samson, are you kidding? Samson was disqualified. Absalom and Ahab. But I tell you, people, it ain't over till it's over. If you got breath in you, you can finish well. Yogi Berra, number 8, New York Yankees. How many know about Yogi Berra? Retired his number in 72. Yogi, the man. It ain't over till it's over. He's got so many of those little things that he has said before, okay? Which is true. It ain't over till it's over. And it runs a parallel in the Christian life. It is not over till it's over. You have opportunities along the way. I have a young pastor friend that sends me little sermonettes. And Sean, if you're watching, keep them coming. Okay, I need that. He sends them to me every day, every other day or so. He's a young pastor. So when you run out of people to pray for, say, Lord, help Sean. Bless Sean. Encourage Sean. Because he needs that. He sent me this little sermonette, and then he asked me a question. And it had to do with Jesus being humble and lowly and meek. And he asked me, he said, "What do you find desirable about Jesus other than being the Savior of sinful men just like me and you?" Okay? Other than that, I told him two things. Number one, the Father was well pleased with Jesus. That's in Matthew 3:17. The second thing that I told, a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son in whom I am what?" So the Father was well pleased with Jesus, okay? The second thing I told him was that Jesus finished well. That's the two things that just jumped in my noggin that I sent him. And that's why I put this together on finishing well for the Olympics. Thank you for that, Sean. John 19:30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is what? It is finished.'" He's finished. He's completed the task the Father gave him. And the next verse, Roger, John 17:4. "What did he finish? 'I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.'" He's done. He finished his course. And let me say this, folks. Everybody in here, you're going to finish. Hey, you're going to finish. How well you finish, it's your call. It's your call. You have a Savior that will help you. The Lord Jesus Christ will help you finish. He'll help you finish well. But you could let some things maybe get in your way, and you just don't quite get there to where you could be. Okay? Go, Roger. Pretty good finishes. Y'all remember those? That's pretty good finishes. And you saw the boxer when he did this. Why is it that when we do something really great, we do this? Why do we do that? You know, Jesus didn't do that. He did this. Not too shabby. Not too shabby for the likes of me. And you, not too shabby. It ain't over till it's over. It ain't over till it's over. Over 2 million people began the exodus out of Egypt following Moses. Over 2 million people got at the starting line following Moses, who we're going to look at in just a minute as to how he finished. Over 2 million people started that exodus through the wilderness, headed to a land that was promised to them, flowing with milk and honey. Guess how many adults actually went in? Two! 2 out of 2 million adults actually got in. Joshua and Caleb. 2 adults made it. The others, their bones were scattered in the wilderness. Literally, 6 feet under. Doesn't matter where you start. What matters in your Christian walk is where you finish. Y'all got that? Say yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, only 2 got in. The rest were laid low. The best example out of this whole crowd right here is Moses. And he's one of our heroes of the faith. He was saved, but due to unbelief, he didn't finish well. They didn't lose their salvation, their sonship, but they did lose relationship. Were they saved? Yeah. But did they finish well? No, they didn't. They lost the reward that God wanted to give them, which was in the promised land. And you, in your Christian walk, I'm not saying that once you're a child of God, you can lose your salvation, because you can't. You can't. When you, as honest as you know how, admit to the Lord, I'm lost. I need Jesus Christ in my life so that I can be with Him when I leave this planet. Okay? When you do that as honest and sincere as you can, your salvation's no longer up to you. It's in the hands of a God who guards it with everlasting arms. You're secure. It's not up to you. You've done all that's required of you to do. Invite Christ into your heart. Save me from my sorry sins that I've done. Save me. Forgive me. That's all you have to do. And then you're saved, baby. You're done. You're complete. Let's look at King Solomon, a hero of the faith, the wisest man that ever lived. Really? He had a 40-year reign. He was one of the best rulers of his day. King Solomon. We all know about King Solomon. That's why I didn't do a whole lot on Solomon. I was hoping that you may not know a whole lot about Asa. He constructed the temple in Jerusalem. This was huge. Took 7 years to build this temple. This is Solomon now. He employed 30,000 timber cutters. 80,000 stone cutters. 70,000 hand laborers. This is a big project, y'all. After completing the temple, then he built the palace complex, 5 structures that took 13 years to complete. And he also built several cities to assist in the development of his empire. Solomon had it all squared. A-L-L squared. He had it all. But, and this is a big but. This is a huge but. Right here, this is a big but. Near the end of his life, King Solomon lost the ideals of his youth. He became restless and unsatisfied. Well, how do I know that? Well, in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 1:14. I have seen all the works. All means all, and that's all means. So he's seen it all. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, how much vanity? All is vanity and vexation of spirit. Wow. It's meaningless to him. Means nothing. The constant influx of wives, 700. I thought about my wife this morning. More than once. But, right out here in the parking lot. I'm trying to make sure I have everything, and I have change in my pocket. To my bride, that's a no-no. Honey, take the change out of your pocket. You rattle it. She talks to me like I'm 9. But you know what? She's right as rain. Sometimes I act like I'm 9. Men, if you have a wife that loves God and loves you, praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Beautiful. I love my wife. I'm supposed to. Bible says, men, love your husbands. Sorry. The Bible says, sorry. The Bible says, men, love your wives. Wow. Sorry. Men, love your wives. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't say the same for the women. What? It doesn't? No, the Bible says, women, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Which I guess you could say is pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Oh, wow. Unbelievable. How many concubines did he have? Somebody say 300. Now, 300 concubines, those are paid mistresses. They're not at the level of a wife. They're just below that. But they're for affections for money. We know what those are. Okay. That's what he had. Okay? And they say that that probably led to his downfall. 1 Kings 11. We're going to read this really quick. Really quick. But King Solomon loved how many? Many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and the Hittites. And Solomon did what? He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 9. And the Lord was what? Are you kidding? The Lord is angry with Solomon. How many here want the Lord angry with you? Do y'all want the Lord angry with you? The God of everlasting to everlasting. Everything that was made, He made. And He's mad at you. You do not want God mad or angry at you. Well, He's angry at Solomon. Is Solomon finishing well? Somebody say no. He's just not finishing well. This guy's a nut. He's got it all. What's he doing? Verse 11, Roger. Wherefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you've done this, you've not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I commanded you. I'm just going to rend the kingdom from you. Going to take it away from you. He had it all. He had it all, his kingdom. And I'll give it to thy servant. And he did. He took it away from him. God separates Solomon's kingdom into two nations, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Okay? Just two tribes down in Judah. So what happens next? What happens? Solomon did not finish too well. In Judah, which is in the south, Rehoboam, son of Solomon, reigned 17 years. Well, how did he do? How did he finish? He's king. He reigned 17 years. What happened to Rehoboam? 2 Chronicles 12:14. And he did what? He did what? How did he finish? Pretty crummy. Well, what happened next? What happens right after that? Abijam, son of Rehoboam, reigns 3 years. Well, how did he finish? How did he do? And he walked in what? All the... Are you kidding me? This must be a family thing. A king family thing. Solomon. So he doesn't finish well either. These are kings. And you're wanting to finish well. What makes you think you're going to finish well? 30% of these guys finish well. That's it. What happened next? King Asa. This is King Asa. And you told me you don't know a whole lot about Asa. So I'm going to be a little brief. Is that okay? Here we go with King Asa. He is Solomon's great grandson. Well, that's like two strikes against him already. Isn't it? You know, folks, if you're in a family and it's been this and it's been this and it's been this, it takes a little something to break that cycle. It just does. It takes a little something. Well, let's pull for Asa. Let's see what Asa does. Can we do that? Say yes. 1 Kings 15, starting at verse 9. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, now the king of Israel, not Judah, reigned Asa over Judah. Here goes Asa. Come on, Asa, let's go. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites out of the land. He removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacha, his mother or matriarch, even her he removed from being the queen mother. You mean he didn't let family get in the way of his devotion to God? Do we? Wow. Do we? Go, Asa, go! Because she had made an idol in a grove to Asheroth. And Asa destroyed her idol and he burned it by the brook Kidron. Asa is not playing. We're cleaning up this mess. That's what's happening. He brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver, gold, and vessels. Asa is smoking. Can y'all say that? Say, go, Asa, go. Come on, Asa. Let's watch what Asa does. Now, how's he going to finish? What's going to happen? Now, there was a war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, in all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah. And he's building a blockade. He's trying to cut off Judah from the north so they can't get any supplies. So guess what's going to happen? There's going to be an invasion. If you can't get stuff to fight, won't be long. You're done. You're done. So Baasha went up against Judah. He built a blockade that he might not suffer any to go out or to come in to Asa, king of Judah. He's going to cut him off. Oh, my gosh. My gosh. Asa's in a bind here. He's got a big army. But the army that's coming is bigger. What do I do? He had already relied on God when the Ethiopians attacked. He already relied on God and whooped them. Whooped all of them. But what does he do here? By the way, this is his 35th year reigning. I hope you're not just bored sick. This is his 35th year of reigning there. So Asa takes all the silver and the gold that was left in the treasures of where? The house of the Lord. And the treasure of the king's house. And he gives them to this guy so that he can help him in his battle. Well, where's God in all this? Where's God right now? Has he left? Has he left the building? He's paying for protection. Asa trusted in a political alliance rather than God. He didn't before. Why is he doing it now? Wow. Wow. At that time, Hanani, the seer or a prophet, comes to Asa, king of Judah, and says to him, because you relied on the king of Syria to protect you and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein you've done foolishly. Why didn't you trust God? Why'd you pay for protection? Therefore, you're going to have wars the rest of your days. That's what's going to happen. Then Asa was mad at the seer or the prophet Hanani or Hanani, who came to tell him, "You're in trouble, boy. You shouldn't have done that." He didn't like the news. So he puts him in jail. But he's mad at him. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Wow, Asa's screwing up, y'all. He's been great up to now. He put him in jail. He's mad. Asa doesn't like it. 2 Chronicles 9, 10, and now 16, 12, and 13, Roger. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, he gets diseased in his feet. And it's bad. Look, if your feet are messed up, you're in trouble. Can you run in your race anymore? Look, you got bad feet. Somebody got to tote you everywhere you go. Okay? Even today. Or somebody's got to bring you something. They got to help you get up and let you go do what you need to do in the restroom and feed you and what. This is the king. And both his feet are gone. They're messed up. He ain't running so good now, is he? Your feet are hurting. You're messed up. You can't go anywhere. You're done. It's funny to me that it was in the feet. Because he was running so well. God took that away from him. 13. Asa slept with his fathers. He died in the 140th year of his reign. He was so good up to that point. He was really good up to that point. To finish well, what does it take to finish well? For us to finish well, what's it going to take? We got to do what's right. It's never wrong to do right. Well, that's going to get my brother mad. Is it right or wrong? It's never wrong to do right. Some people may even entertain the thought that, well, if it's evil, if it comes to a good end, that's okay. Well, it isn't okay. It's never wrong to do right. So do right. Long as the day is long, do right. If you want to finish well, now if you don't, that's okay. You want to get the gold? That's what it's going to take. We must do what's right in the sight of God. Not everyone that says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If you remember back that verse you saw up there, when Jesus said, "It's finished, I've accomplished everything that the Father gave me to do." Well, the Father's giving us stuff to do. He's giving us stuff to do. So, that's what it's going to take. 1 Corinthians 1:21, we must trust in God and His will and not the ways of man. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not the wisdom of the world, it's the wisdom of God, not of men. You seek God in a decision. If you want to finish well. If you don't, it's okay. And the last, we must seek the Lord daily to avoid an undesirable end. Daily. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The Apostle Paul said that I have finished my course. He's done with his race. He says, I kept the faith. And the verse before that says that I am now ready to be offered. How many in here is ready to be offered? How many have finished your course? And you smoked it, baby. You're ready. There's no room in there for you to do better. You're there. How many are in here can honestly just raise your hand and say, look, I got the gold. I've got the gold. It's mine. Well, guess what? It ain't over till it's over. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. Lord, it ain't over. It ain't over. It ain't over till it's over. What's it going to take? What's it going to take, Lord? I'm not running hard as I could. Today could be my day to be offered. I need your help, Lord. I need your help. Anybody here need the help of the Lord other than me? Lord, I need your help. Sometimes I get weary in well-doing. Do y'all? Do y'all? Do you get weary? I do. Man, are you kidding me? I need help, Lord. You got to help me. You got to give me courage. You got to give me stamina so I don't stumble, so I don't fall. It's available. As long as you have one breath, you can finish well. Do y'all agree with that? Because the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart God raised Him from the dead, we can be saved. And that's for those of you that don't know the Savior. This whole message predominantly was talking to believers. Because we want to finish well. But if you don't know the Savior, if you don't know the Savior, and today was your last day, do you know what's waiting for you? If you don't know the Savior, and you left today, and you were offered today, what awaits you was not even designed for men, where there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's not a threat. It's a stern warning, because it's Bible. That's what waits for you. The righteous judge, who is Jesus, the Father, judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. So the righteous judge, Jesus, will tell you, depart. I never knew you. You're not one of mine. That's what you're going to hear if you don't know the Savior. But it ain't over till it's over. You can fix that today at Fellowship Church. Drive a stake in it and know that on July 24th, 2016, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. And I belong to the family of God that's guarded by my Heavenly Father. Baby, that's security. That's finishing well. And you can do that. Can we all stand? My prayer is that every person in here would finish well. Because we're going to finish. But don't we want to finish well? I want to finish well. If you don't know the Savior, I want to talk to you right after the service. You can come down here and speak to me. Are you kidding me? I would love to talk to you about Jesus. These people here would love to share their testimony with you and let you come into a family that's bigger than the one that you have now. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you for just being the God of glory. You're the God Most High. You're as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for Jesus Christ. For us to even finish and stumble across, we've got to have Christ. But we want more than that. We want to do well. We want to be what you designed us to be, what you put it in us to be. And so, Father, I commit anything that's been said here to the hearts of these folks, and hopefully you'll draw them closer to you. that you'll give us courage, that you'll give us stamina, because we're not where we need to be yet. Not all of us are ready to be offered up. We're running, but we do grow tired. So we need your strength. We need your courage to help us. And thank you for Jesus, because we just won't get to heaven without him. And I thank you for letting me be here. I'm humbled to be in such a place that you put here. It's not by happenstance. It's your design that put this here. And so I'm just stopping and enjoying the moment. It's truly a stream in a desert. Thank you for these people. Encourage their hearts in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Thank you for being here. Praise the Lord.